Hey everybody, I'm John Canning, executive producer of what I like to say is not film and television at Digital Domain. So it's all the other fun-loving things. Who are you?
Joel Sloss. I do content security for Azure Cloud, working with fine gentlemen such as this on bringing production workflows into a secure cloud environment.
And my name is Eric Geisler, and I'm the CEO of G2 Immersive Studios, and we are a content creator and post-production visual effects studio.
And I guess, given that it gave me a different title, I own that title too. So I can't figure out which is my day job, the Producers Guild or Digital Domain, but I also chair the New Media Council for the Producers Guild of America. So, do you want to set up your...
Yeah, we can.
Give it a little background.
So, we basically have been really working hard these days to create workflows in the cloud that are exactly the same as working on a computer in your office environment. So many advantages to it. As a content creator, I can tell you, especially when you're making something and pouring your blood, sweat, and tears into it, you want to make sure that it's secure across the board. So being able to host something in a singular location, but yet share it with a lot of different people, because filmmaking is a very collaborative workflow. You've got a lot of people that you're dealing with. Even on an independent scale, you're talking hundreds of people, hundreds and thousands of people on a bigger budget scale. So it's really important to have a safety environment in place so that you know where your content is at all times, especially on the independent side when sometimes it's your own money going into this. So we had we basically had an opportunity that Joel provided us to get some really good access to their cloud tools, and we have been making a trailer for a feature, and this trailer was produced in the cloud. So we shot everything on set, uploaded all of the content up into a cloud-based server, and then worked on it, edited it, worked on sound, worked on design. It's not quite finished, but we're going to play a little preview for you. We're very proud of the fact that, the tools that we're working with right now feel like it's right there in the offices. But the really cool security aspect of it is that it's all in a very secure location. And although I'm granting you access to a server, it's a virtual server, so you really don't have the data on your laptop or your computer. You're only working with a window into the content. And the tools are being granted to you as a window into the content. So we've got a little trailer, which we'll play right now. We don't see it.
That's the audio version of the trailer. Just gonna have to look at our faces the entire time.
Almost.
What's up?
You lost me.
I was looking at this house for years.
So that's a comedy.
Yeah. Right? It's a feel-good picture. So the cool thing about working on that was we really got to really test these workflows out. As you know, when you're shooting on set, you're creating an enormous amount of data. And then that data needs to get translated down and filtered. When you're editing with enormous amounts of data. So it was a small enough project that really gave us a chance to really test it out. And there really were absolutely no bugs. I mean, the cool thing about it was we were able to create an environment, open it up, load up our media, start working on the project pretty much right away. We had different artists who were working on different parts of it. This is still not finished. We're still working on visual effects, and the sound is still temp, and there's still a bunch going on with it. But you can see that, like, this, it's legitimate. Like, these workflows in the cloud aren't, you know, you can really get high quality out of it now. It's not just something that is a good idea. You know, we're starting to really get practicality out of it. The cool thing, a cool anecdote about it was that, like today, we weren't even planning on showing this, and Joel was like, hey, can you show it? And I called up my sound mixer who was working on it. I'm like, hey, can we get it right away? And he just, like, you know, was able to open up a door, access it, shoot it down to a delivery portal that he was able to play over in the back. So it's really cool. I'm very excited about this. As a content creator, it really allows me to expand my footprint, you know, around the globe and collaborate with different people without worrying about, you know, piracy, because that's really important.
What do you say after that? I think the interesting thing, and we've had this conversation amongst ourselves a couple of different times, and it starts applying to companies that are large and small, right? The thing about it is how many of you are actually running co-location data centers right now? Yeah, there's a guy in the back. Yep, there's a couple more. The issue is how much are you paying for your data centers? How much time and energy are you looking into those to maintaining your own independent data centers? And various parts of us are going through the business, you know, digital domain. We've got 6 offices around the world now. We're going to be spinning up another office, and we get into this whole conversation of, do we even want to operate our own data center anymore? And it used to be we had to operate all of our own rendering farms in our own locations, and now we're shifting to saying, if we can get rid of that side of the burden on our business, so much the better. But it comes with the fact that we worked on Marvel movies, right? And there's the security procedures for there. So, you know, as a part of this is starting to look at who's out there and what partners can we bring on that we can start doing this work and still be compliant and still manage to meet the security requirements we have, because it sounds good to just go into the cloud, but then there's the issue of, how do I know it's secure? How do I know that it's industry accepted? How do I know that certain associations have approved it? Or certain studios are okay with it. And then I think part of the conversation that we've all been a part of in looking at is, how do I know the other people that I'm working with are also compliant and working with same approved solutions? That I think is a thing that whether you're a small organization or a large organization constantly has to be asked.
And I think fortunately we're reaching a point now where the whole thing really can sit in the cloud, or at a minimum be backed by the cloud. In the talk that we had earlier this morning in one of the breakouts, you know, we still have to recognize that there, especially with the larger studios, it's still going to be a hybrid environment, because, you know, folks like Digital Domain have made these huge capital investments, and you're not just going to, you know, roll them out the door. You need to get some more use out of them and start, you know, building into the cloud as it makes sense. But we've reached a point where all of these tools are in the cloud now. They're functional, as you know, as we can see, that you can do practical work, you know, in a cloud environment, and we can help with those, you know, with that security requirement. You know, the day was kicked off this morning talking about the Trusted Partner Network, and you know, that's something now that we can build the guidance and the automation so that it's just easily replicable. When you start up a new production, when you want to have that studio in a box experience, then putting it in the cloud is very easy, because you don't have to go and rent the hardware and, you know, buy licenses for software and you know, start building up physical infrastructure. You just basically turn a key, and you know, up pops all of your pre-provisioned environments, and the software licenses are there, and it's ready to go. I mean, it's not quite that easy yet, but we're getting there.
They don't actually ship you a key. I can attest to that. One of the things that I think is important is there's still a challenge in this is egress and ingress. I'd love to hear how you were addressing that, just the sheer amount of data you're shooting on set. You know, the biggest challenge we've had in a lot of different, especially for smaller productions, is I still got to get it up there. Once I get it up there, that's all well and good. But how do I get it up there? How do I pull it back down and work with it in a reasonable fashion?
So right now, the easiest way to get it up there is physically, so with physical storage. So you have physical storage on set. You're putting something to a drive instantaneously, and you're shipping that drive out to a colo or a location that will then put it up into your blob storage, up in the cloud. The next part, once it's there, it becomes infinitely easier because now you're just provisioning an environment and then granting a workspace to somebody. So that part's fairly easy. I've shot enough exotic locations and worked on enough movies where I know that, there's always a colo location somewhere close by, even in some like pretty rare and exotic places. So right now, that's the easiest way to get it up there.
You mentioned to me a couple of different solutions that you guys have been looking at, so again, for people that are looking at doing the data migration, potentially to start with, but also just on an ongoing basis, what are some of the solutions? I mean, it sounds wonderful just to take some drives and ship them somewhere, but that sounds kind of magical and mystical too.
Yeah, no, it's an excellent point. And when you start talking about data migration, it's not just the content that you're producing right then, but everything that you have up until that point. And I used to use an example this morning of your closet full of hard drives. For other studios, it's mountains of tapes, or it might even be film, real film.
Yeah.
There is a real problem of how do you get this into a cloud archive. So there are different tools. You can take somebody like Iron Mountain, who would be able to convert old tape or old film, into a more modern digital format that can then be imported into the cloud. If you have the wherewithal to buy a dark fiber link or at least rent a fiber link, that's one way of kind of a moderate, by comparison, performance way of moving data. But even at 100 gigs a second, if you could even get that kind of a pipe into a telco, when you start getting into the petabyte scale of data, that's going to take weeks, months, years. Depends on what you're moving. So there is still a physical nature of how some of this has to move. So if you're looking at a simple 100 terabyte chunk of stuff, then there's a device that you can drop onto your network. It's got 10 gig or 40 gig Ethernet links on it, so you can load it up, and then it's got DHL label on it. Actually, use an e-paper little screen on the side of the box so that you don't even have to print a label for it. And you take the data box, and DHL comes and gets it, and it shows up, like I said, in a data center, and then we ingest it. For really large loads where you're trying to move an existing digital archive, and it could be petabytes, then at least for us, we have what's called a data box heavy, which is a full petabyte of storage in a rather sizable box, probably the same size as one of these stage squares. And it's got 100 gig links on it so that you can load all of your stuff at a much higher rate, and then that box gets shipped to a data center and put into your account. So there's a number of different modes depending on how much and how fast.
Yeah, I've worked it. I've had the ability to see, because I've worked at some post-production companies throughout the years, how many people actually have like mountains of film like stuck in like these random post houses. Mountains of, I'm not even kidding, they're like mountains of film. And I still do, I have a closet full of hard drives that I've been uploading to the cloud, because who knows if I plug that hard drive in, it's going to work. And that's primarily why you do two or three copies of the hard drive, especially on set when you're recording something, you're like, okay, let's make sure. But still, I used to store stuff on exabyte tape, and I remember floppy disks, you remember those? And three-quarter disk and all these things that don't exist anymore. Well, I have some older Mac computers with some older
hardware just to be able to read some of the old devices. So one of the things that is really makes it a lot easier of having your data somewhere is that you're not having to constantly swim upstream with an upgrade path and chase the technology as it's progressing. So it's very handy having stuff in a place where you know where it's going to be, you know, and you know that you're not going to have a device specifically just to read this tape that doesn't exist anymore.
And the security. The security of being able to move content in that way is so much better than either having a closet full of drives or passing around USB sticks and having PAs get on an airplane with something in order to bring it back to a location. That's where the pre-release piracy happens, and it avoids that.
Yeah, I mean, I worked on the restoration of American Graffiti, and it was interesting because the people from Lucasfilm brought a bunch of material to us, were there while it was being scanned, and were there to take it all away. And it was the first time I had ever seen a client actually care about the magnitude of their material, because they realized the archive is like the most important thing. A lot of companies have, like I said, there's like mountains of film all over the place. So knowing where your stuff is one thing, but also having access to it is really important.
Now, in doing your film, doing your process, give me one of the things you didn't expect as you started transition to a cloud-based workflow and a local workflow. And one of the things, you know, like one of the challenges you found, may have anticipated or not, and then, you know, potentially one of the just happy upsides.
So one of the challenges I ran into was, depending on your internet connection, you have to have a fairly decent, it doesn't have to be crazy, but you have to have a fairly decent connection where the lag time doesn't, you don't notice the lag time. Especially when you're like playing back 4K material. This was all done in 4K, by the way, from shooting all the way to post. So you're dealing with an enormous amount of data. I really, you know, I remember having a bad internet day, as we sometimes do, because of the weather or something was affecting the internet, and it really bumped me out because I couldn't have the access that I was used to. So that was the only really downside. The big upside was how quickly I could deploy assets and environments to people, and it was like, oh, I get a call, and again, when you're doing some of these things on your own dime, you ask for a lot of favors from a lot of friends, right? So the great thing is that they're like, hey, yeah, I can work on it now or tonight. And it was like, oh wow, instead of having somebody have to even drive, you know, not that far to me to pick up a hard drive, I was like, oh yeah, okay, you have it. And he's like, oh yeah, I just got the email. I mean, that's how cool that was. So that was the upside.
I mean, I think one of the things we keep coming back to in various discussions around this is the collaboration effect. The ability to spin up new teams, put them securely on the system, be able to share the files with them, and then tear that down when they're done working on the project. Are there any questions, comments, concerns, anecdotes? That nice man in the back with his hand up. Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good. So I have a couple of questions. You picked up on one, which was around latency. Yeah. But I'd love to see if you actually did any measurements to see, like, how much latency can an artist really stomach before it gets too much?
Yeah, so I kind of can answer that question because I can't stomach any.
Right.
I went into it fully expecting it to be, a bad experience, and I was pleasantly surprised. The technology really has gotten really, they're really getting really good at just pushing the pixels around. I could tell a difference when I sat at the physical workstation and would open something up and go, okay, let's just drive it side by side. But it wasn't enough to bother me. And I really feel like it's matured. Like, I really feel like now we're getting somewhere. I remember, and I've worked on machines, you know, using, you know, LogMeIn or different technologies to go into another, and it's always slow, and you open up a player and you can't really play anything, and But you know, you could tell that there was the technology was maturing, and it happily is here. You do have to have a fairly decent connection, and once you do, the experience for me was, I would forget that I was working on a virtual machine, if that answers
so
the question.
What was the, were you using Teradici or what,
yeah,
what was your?
Teradici is what made the difference. So when I was just using just regular remote desktop protocol, which I sometimes would just RDP into a server, even that's gotten really, really good. Surprisingly.
Really
good.
Shocking, right?
But however, when you're trying to play back things and have no stutter, none of that, you need a Teradici interface. And their web interface without the hardware, amazing results.
So can it just to, for some people in the room, just give a quick breakdown of, so you had a thin client working?
No, didn't need a thin client.
Okay.
So they have a web interface that's actually highly optimized. So it's their technology going through the web is most people have what's called a thin client. So you have a set of hardware and screens at your facility, but all the data's up in the cloud, and you're just pushing the mouse and the pixels up to the cloud. A couple of years ago, that's how all of this was kind of being driven at the high end. Now they've made pretty significant updates to the fact where when you're working just on their web client without any hardware on your side, you're still seeing excellent results. So the hardware is happening at the other end, and the data is just being pushed to you. So it's pretty cool.
Got it. We would love to talk about this all day long, but we're not supposed to. I'm conscious of my overtime.
Very sorry. Apologies. We are way over time. We're also running behind just as a whole on the day. Thank you so much. Let's give them a big round of applause. Awesome session. Thank you so much.